Now, there's always a new social media trend popping up on our feeds, and this time social media users are seeing more videos from the trad wife. Journalist Kate Mulder looked into this new phenomenon and is here to tell us more. Kate, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thank you so much, Laura, and what a topic to discuss.
Kate, you're very welcome along to the show, and I know that you have deep dived into this because I have been on Trad Talk for a long time now and I cannot get enough of it. But what is a trad wife? Just for anyone at home who's just like, what are you guys talking about? What's going
on
here?
So for those who don't have a breeze, a trad wife refers to a married woman who embraces traditional gender roles, particularly focusing on homemaking and supporting her husband by raising the kids, doing the cooking, keeping the house clean while he serves as the primary breadwinner. So it'll be a role we're all relatively familiar with in terms of, like, some of our mothers might have undertaken this role when we were kids. We would have called that a housewife or maybe a stay-at-home mother. But the difference between them and the trad wives we see today is that the trad wife lifestyle is just that. It's seen as a lifestyle choice rather than an obligation. A lot of the women I know who stay at home with their children do so because it makes sense financially or for their family, whereas trad wives are almost influencers in this field, choosing to undertake this role as an extension of their identity rather than simply rearing the children. And as a result, we see these women, as they're always women, film themselves, do traditionally kind of mid-century housewife things like make bread from scratch or milk cows or collect eggs, but all in beautifully shot, curated, well-lit videos.
And that is the only way to put it. They are beautifully shot, beautifully curated. They've got these gorgeous clothes on them. Their houses are absolutely pristine. They're always these big, mad farmhouses. It's like there's not a hair out of place anywhere. Why do you think we're seeing more of this content on, like, social media? Predominantly TikTok, because that's where it is.
That is where it is. You're dead right. And I actually never heard the term trad talk going before.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going today. That's nice to hear. Where did it come from? So many see it as kind of like an antidote to kind of the girl boss culture that kind of rocked the 2010s. So one which saw kind of women prioritise financial gain, control and dominations in typically male-dominated fields. And so it also seems to kind of cling on to the idea that in the post-war periods of like the 50s and 60s, women had clearly more defined roles. Today, women can kind of be anything, which is brilliant to some and frightening to others because they kind of don't know where they stand. So as a result, women are these days looking to previous generations for a bit of guidance, and this is what they find. And while it seems easier to kind of saunter around your 800-acre farm and pick eggs here and make milk here, it really isn't. Women in the post-war period had it much, much harder. Little to no political power, no appalling healthcare, grueling physical labour. So while roles were a little bit more defined, it's because no other choice existed. So today, to see women choosing a life of no choice is a little bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's to put it lightly.
Yeah.
Like they're romanticising something that people didn't have a choice in.
Mm-hmm.
Like these women had to do this because this was the only option they had, and they're romanticising it. The queen bee of all of this, people might have heard of her, and if they haven't, is Hannah Nealman. Tell me about her, please.
So the most famous wife, trad wife out there is Hannah Nealman, who is this like beautiful former ballerina, I think waist-length blonde hair, and she has 8 children and counting. And I think she's only 34. Nealman is fascinating. So there was recently a Sunday Times article that came out about she and her husband and their idyllic-seeming life. So to give some context, Nealman was a ballerina studying at Juilliard, which is an extremely prestigious arts university in New York. She had wanted to be a ballerina her whole life. Her Instagram name is Ballerina Farm. And she pursued that dream basically until her now husband decided within months of meeting her, I think they were engaged within the 2-month mark, that they should start a family and move to rural Utah. So as a result, she didn't complete her final year in Juilliard. She was... someone called her recently the only Juilliard undergraduate in living memory to become pregnant and leave. And basically she went to be with her man and birth 8 subsequent children and counting. Her husband, that man, is Daniel Nealman, who is the heir of a number of airlines, including JetBlue. He is a billionaire. His family is full of billionaires. And recently, he was brought into the conversation by way of 2 things. That Sunday Times article I just mentioned about the pair, which basically saw Hannah as kind of oppressed under Daniel's rule, something she has since denied. And a now viral video, which saw Daniel give his wife her most recent birthday present.
Oh,
so,
my God, this is how I ended up on this
tough
side of things.
It's a tough watch. So in the video... Daniel is seen behind the camera. Well, not seen. Daniel is holding the camera and he presents this box. And it's for anyone who goes online shopping, you're aware what these boxes look like. If you order something online, it generally comes kind of a nondescript brown box, duct tape around it, nothing frilly. It has your address on it. So he hands her his box similar to that with his address on it. And she's kind of whispering to herself, Greece, Greece, I really want to go to Greece. I'm hoping we can go to Greece, which is pretty feasible if your husband owns all the planes in the world.
Yeah.
And so she cracks it open and in it is an egg apron. So for those who don't know what an egg apron is, who does? It is an apron in which you tie at the waist and has individual pockets to collect eggs. So it's basically furthering her workload on top of what she already does. And you can, I don't want to ascribe my own feelings onto her, but it's pretty obvious she's devastated.
She is devastated. Yeah. It's clear as day for anybody who watches the video. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much. Mm. Like, you know, she's not happy about it, but at the end of the day, like, she still uploaded the video for everyone to see. And I don't know if that's just a way of being like, this isn't as rosy in the garden as what we're actually trying to make it out to be. There was a lot of backlash.
There was.
Over this. And to explain to people like what that was about.
Yeah, so there was a backlash over that and also over the Sunday Times article. Hannah and her husband themselves have since come out and say that the writer's version of events was predetermined, that basically she went into it assuming this was the case and therefore wrote around that rather than it being the case. Whether that is true or not, we cannot know. But as a woman who has 8 children under 12, regularly has to take to the bed with exhaustion for a number of days, only given an epidural of one of the births, and that birth was the only one her husband wasn't present for, it raises some questions.
It raises a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's worrying. As much as there's a lot of parody accounts on the Trad Talk side of things where, you know, like there are a lot of really funny people who are doing what looks like quite serious content, but it turns out to be a complete farce. And they're getting views and they're making loads of money off the TikTok Creators Fund. Mm. That doesn't seem to be the case for Ballerina Farm and for her and for the thousands of other people who are also partaking in this. Mm-hmm. And it does seem quite dangerous to be romanticising a life where you are choosing to not have an income and rely solely on your husband.
Mm.
And as you said at the very beginning of this, people choose to do that for financial reasons here, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
The cost of childcare is astronomical.
Mm.
It's not even the cost of childcare sometimes. Sometimes people want to have those years with their children that they won't get back and they choose not to work, and that is totally fine. This just seems a little bit, it seems just a little bit backwards for want of, I know you're saying don't put your own feelings onto it, but it's hard not to when you're
watching it.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It brings up some really interesting conversations, and I was trying to look at it under several different lenses, because under feminism, women should be afforded any opportunity they want. And so if that choice is something that we associate with oppression or a lack of autonomy, is that still their choice? Is that anti-feminist or is it feminist? And it's something you can't really think about in the context of men, because they have always been afforded every opportunity they want. But what's interesting is she also engages in other events that people deem as anti-feminist or non-feminist or whatever you want to put in it. Like the Mrs. America pageant. I don't know if you saw this. So the Mrs. America pageant is basically the same as the Miss America pageant, except it's only for women who are married.
Mm-hmm.
So this pageant is much the same we would associate with traditional pageants. Beautiful women engaging in kind of swimsuit rounds, wearing 6-inch heels, spray tans, talent sections, all that. And in 2023, this is really when her popularity came to the fore. Hannah Nealman won it 12 days postpartum on her 8th child.
Yeah, that's wild.
So she had been training the whole way through this pregnancy because she knew it was coming up. She'd been engaging in ice baths, she'd been weightlifting, she'd been all the rest, squeezing into spandex, as one can imagine. But yeah, it's in terms of the feminist thing, it remains a discussion whether she or any other trad wife is any more or less feminist than, say, Sheryl Sandberg, who was kind of the face of girl boss culture about 10 or 15 years ago. So when it came to Sandberg, whose book Lean In, some people might be familiar with, it kind of grew in fame and then eventually in infamy. Women realised that the story she had been sharing about kind of individualised feminism and how basically we could, quote unquote, have it all, they were basically being sold a dream, and this was only really achievable if you're already wealthy to begin with.
Yeah.
And so for normal working mothers, that girl boss era gave them virtually nothing, which is why I think the pivot to traditional values in settings that normal working mothers are familiar with, houses, farms, kitchens, is kind of taking off. And so, like clockwork, people wanted to reject corporate culture for something that felt more attainable, which is kind of where the trad wife thing all started.
Do you think this is a trend that's here to stay? And I'm calling it a trend, but it's not exactly a trend. It's been around for centuries, for as long as we've existed.
Yeah, it feels like a trend, though. Is there something inauthentic about it? Because if people want to live a certain way, that's obviously their prerogative and they can do it. Yeah. But to film it and then kind of allow that to be their livelihood and the way they're seen and their notoriety and then sell merch off the back of it, like, yeah, it does feel a bit trendy. Is it here to stay? As long as there is kind of corporate feminist culture, there will be reactions to it. Mm-hmm. This is just one of them. Whether it will stay or not depends on whether we find it interesting for long enough.
Yeah.
There will likely be a swing in the other direction in the coming months or years. I imagine that swing will come sooner if Kamala Harris makes it to office. But in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like a full circle moment. It ties itself to kind of the mast of Kardashian culture in that they're like amassing followers, sharing lifestyle tips, offering discount codes. But it also seems to rebel the choices such women make in a way that means its reach is enormous. We're all talking about it,
yeah,
but it's inevitably short-lived, especially in a time when kind of authenticity is currency. Mm. Either way, another term will come along. I feel like it's been the summer of terms to label women, whether it's brat, whether it's tradwife, whether it's whatever else. So I don't think this trend is really going to be here to stay, but I imagine I'll be in here in another 3 months to talk about another term when putting on women.
I hope so. I really and truly hope you are. And just off the back of that as well, I think it is just important to say that, you know, as long as the choice you're making is something that you are so happy with, mm-hmm, then that's totally fine. But I will be consuming this content regardless. Like,
me
I can't
too.
Help myself. It just comes up in our ether, mm-hmm, all the time. Kate Mulder, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back after this.
It's RTE 2FM.